Good morning and welcome to the live broadcast from 8th Reformed Church, located at 841 Burton Street Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Harry Koops will bring a message titled, Take Courage, It Is I, Don't Be Afraid, from Scripture found in Matthew chapter 14, verses 21 to 33. This is Scott Pastor inviting you to stay tuned for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
And good morning. I greet you in the name of our risen Savior on this Sunday morning as we come together to corporately worship the living God. He alone is worthy of our praise. He alone is worthy of our adoration. And it's good to be here as brothers and sisters in Christ, part of the family of God, to lift up His name. And then our prayer is that His Spirit will meet each one of us exactly where we're at, whatever we're dealing with, that He will give us strength for the journey, as well as fill us with adoration and worship for the one who is alone worthy of that. If you're visiting with us today, we greet you. We're glad you're here. We say good morning to you. Hope you're blessed through the service and that it's just a special time that you also experience warmth and hospitality. And so to that end, we invite everyone to stay for time of fellowship. Right after the service, it's right through those doors. There'll be coffee and cookies. I already looked at them. They look really good. And there's also, if this is your first time visiting, there's a shelf on the wall right past those doors. If you'd be kind enough just to sign that, name, address, phone number, that's really helpful. And I also want to say it's just really good to see Kay DeVries here today. Kay's been out sick for quite a while, and you know, she just had a birthday a couple days ago. She turned 90. I wasn't supposed to say that, I think, but and she has family here, and I know at fellowship time we're all going to sing happy birthday to her, but I just want to say it's so good to see you this morning, Kay. Have your son with you, and this is a special time. And so, yeah, it feels good to be with family when we celebrate and enjoy the good things in life that we also see come out of our Father's heavenly hand. And then we want to greet all the people that join us via Jethro Radio. And that's such a beautiful thing that we've been blessed with as far as for outreach. And so we greet you folks on Jethro. Others join us via the internet, jethro.fm. And then we're also on YouTube. And there's the CDs that some folks pick up. All kinds of ways to reach out into the community beyond these walls and pray that the Lord uses the truths of His Word and the joy of who He is to strengthen and equip others in the journey of life. I have one announcement for tomorrow. Wes Decker has a Bible study Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock. It's for men and women, and they're just segueing into a new area. And tomorrow they're going to start a study on the Antichrist. So if you are interested in that, and if you're not, might be a good time to show up and find out that maybe you are. It starts at 1 o'clock, goes to 2, and I know you'll find it interesting. So that's a study on the Antichrist tomorrow afternoon. Hear the call to worship. We give thanks to you, O Lord, with our whole heart. We'll tell of all your wonderful deeds. We'll be glad and exult in you. We'll sing praises to your name. O you who are the Most High God. Let's stand and sing number 508, Love Lifted Me, 508.
Rise no more, but go back.
Father, when nothing else could help, love lifted us, and you are love. You epitomize love. You're the fullness of love. You're the one who sustains us, fills us with love, so that we can love you and love each other. And it never comes natural. So our prayer is that your Holy Spirit will fill us and anoint us with fresh oil so that these things come well to us, and that we do them well, to honor you and to praise you. Thank you again for this time together. May your Spirit work in our midst as only it can. Would you bind anything that would distract us from worshiping you in spirit and in truth? And then, Father, will you fill us with yourself so that we are filled with joy and strength because we serve a risen Savior, even Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Receive God's greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated.
Jesus, Lord.
Thank you, choir. Isn't that good news that Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean? Yes, that's a big amen for all of us. As we come before our God with our congregational prayer, just want to go over a few things, having to bring you up to date with our church family. And we've been praying for Betty Holmes for quite some time. And last week she was admitted back to Trinity Healthcare. She's still there. They're trying to do treatments, hoping to avert getting on dialysis right now. So keep Betty in your prayers. This has been a long road. I'm amazed at the spirit God has blessed her with all the hardships. She has a good attitude and so thankful for her church family. And she loves YouTube so she can watch. And then Julie Amon's surgery went well. She had that surgery on Friday to remove her kidney. We're so thankful for that. We pray for continued grace for Julie in the time of recovery now. And this past week, we prayed for Lonnie Vanderhart's sister, Nola, who was dealing with blood clots, and she was at Sparrow Hospital in Lansing. And she's back home now, recovering at home, so prayers answered there. And then remember John Deppe Sr. He is at Butterworth Heart Hospital right now, undergoing tests and treatment for fluids, fatigue, and dizziness. John was admitted on Friday, and so we want to remember him in prayer. And then an update on Rick Miller's mom, Donna. She's at the Oaks in the Comstock Park area. And, she turns 91 next month, and she had this fall and then surgery on her hip, but is actually recovering quite well, so prayers are being answered. And at the Oaks, she's able to participate in therapy to get stronger. So we just thank God for that. And then an item of praise also. Jim Verstraat came home on Friday, and we praise God for that. Jim has been dealing with a leg wound he had and then blood clots, and this all started the end of August, and he got home Friday. So that's been a long stint for Jim and Sandy and the whole family, and we're just so thankful that he was able to go home. And then we've been praying for David Conrad. You know Conrad, Conrad's bunker on Jethro, and he's got a kidney match, and his kidney surgery will be this Monday. So keep David in your prayer, in your prayers, and hope that this all goes well for him. And we just thank the Lord that he opened these doors. And then Pam Van Beek, we've been praying for her, and she had the test this week, and what she really needs is triple bypass surgery, but physically isn't strong enough to sustain that. So now they're in kind of consultation to see what they can and can't do. And then I got a text from Ron and Jenny, and Jenny has the flu now that Ron had, and he's starting to feel better. But the flu is making her emphysema really a problem, so breathing is a difficulty, and there's financial difficulties too, and that is affecting some of the prescription stuff and getting medication. So then she was going to go to work, and she found a job, and then she fell and hurt her hand, her knee, and her back, and so it just goes from one thing to the next. So keep Ron and Jenny in prayer. And they are always so thankful for the prayers of you, their church family. And I get those texts frequently. Thank you for upholding us in prayer. We're struggling, but God is faithful, and he is seeing us through another day. And so we just, there's always gratitude in their request. And then we want to keep Dave Schaefer and Tina in prayer too. Dave's Aunt Glenda passed away this past Thursday, and we ask for prayers for that family. So as you know, there's always lots going on, but we also serve a God who hears and answers prayer, and we can come into his presence with confidence. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we have just heard a list of a lot of things, hard things, challenges in life, struggles, some that seem never-ending. And we can't fix any of it. But we're so grateful to know the one who says, I am the God who hears and answers prayer, and come unto me. And so we want to hear your voice say, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. That's our heartfelt plea, to have security from being close to you because you invited us by saying, come, come unto me. Thank you, Jesus, that you, the creator of the universe, would issue us a personal invitation. And we admit it is good to be in your presence. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we wander off. Sometimes we're happy with man-made substitutes. But there's nothing like being close to you. You even tell us we can approach your throne of grace with confidence as we come in your presence. What a blessing. What a privilege. What joy. As we pray for our needs, we begin by asking for forgiveness. We also know that you are a holy and righteous God, that you can't be in the presence of sin, and so we ask for forgiveness of our sins. And as we just sung, that the blood of Jesus can make the vilest sinner clean. And sometimes in our own minds we think, oh, we're not that bad. We're pretty good people compared to other people. But compared to you, we're all vile sinners. Until you cleanse us in your blood and make us pure. Make us as white as snow because of your shed blood. And your word promises us that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just and will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And then we're part of your family, part of the family of God. And you see us as sons and daughters, and you embrace us with love. And we have a foretaste of what it'll be to be with you forevermore in our eternal home. We praise you. We also pray, Father, for those for whom this is not a reality. That's always a burden. There's lots of stuff going in the world that's really troublesome. But there's nothing more troublesome than to think about those who might face a Christless eternity. And so we pray for your grace, your intervention, your spirit moving in people's hearts. And Father, give us wisdom. What to say, what not to say, how to engage, how to navigate. But we want to surrender to you because we know that ultimately is always your spirit that unlocks hearts, just like it did that for us. We pray for those with physical and emotional needs. And we remember Pam Van Beek and Bob and Elaine and Ron and Jenny and Betty Holmes and Doug Pueller, Kay DeVries, Don Oppenheisen, Brenda Van Beek, Brian Herwire, Kathy Misiak, Joanne Sleeth, Emily Dreyer, Ron Osteich, David Shaver, Helen, Larry Rudnick, Tim C., David Conrad, Julie Amon, Nola, John Deppe Sr., and Donna Miller. And then we know there's folks dealing with the emotional stuff, depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, suicidal thoughts, dementia, Alzheimer's, addictions, and the things that just make life hard, that can steal our joy, that create just unrest in our hearts. And so we come to you, Father, and we pray for your grace, your intervention, your peace, that peace of God that passes understanding. And Father, as we pray for the folks dealing with this, we also pray for family members. Oftentimes, they end up becoming the caregivers. Will you give them special strength, physically, but also emotionally? And we think of Barb Eish and Robert DeYoung as they are in nursing homes, assisted living, homebound. Will you give them strength? And even this day, may they experience a Lord's Day blessing. We remember Don Winaldo in hospice care, and we ask for your grace for him as well as Judy. We pray for those who are grieving, and we think of Dave and Tina and the passing of Aunt Glenda. And then for the Lorna Borderwijk family, as the memorial service for Lorna was held yesterday. We know many other people are affected by grief, the loss of loved ones, and how hard that is, and how there's always that empty chair around the table, and how it touches our hearts, and how we miss those that were such an integral part of our lives. Will you give strength? Will you give comfort? May our hope be in you. As we pray for these things, we realize they're all relationship-based. Relationships are a blessing. You're the one who instituted that. The perfect one is in the Trinity. And then, Father, you came, Emmanuel, God with us, so that we could be in relationship. And then you instructed us to be in relationship with one another. Teach us how to do that well. Teach us how to love one another. It's easy with those who are lovable that are a lot like ourselves, but the ones that are unlovable, that are harder to love, harder to be with, harder to do things with, will you fill us with grace to be able to navigate that? Father, your word instructs us to pray for our leaders because you set them in office. And so we pray for our leaders. We pray for our president and those that serve with him. We pray, Father, for our governor and those that serve with her. And then we pray for the local leaderships, the mayors and the boards. And Father, we think of those who are on the Supreme Court and lower courts, all people that have been placed in positions of authority. We also know that to whom much is given, much will be required. And so our prayer is that they would ultimately turn to you for wisdom, for your leading and your guidance, so that you can continue to have mercy on our nation. We have strayed far. We seek forgiveness for that. Help us to be salt and light where you have placed us as your people. And then we pray that you would once again pour out your grace on our nation and we would return from our wandering ways and come back to you, the one who is the truth. With so much unrest in our land and around the globe, we're grateful to belong to you, the Prince of Peace, who dwells in our hearts, even when the winds and the waves are high in the culture that we are part of. May we be a faithful remnant. Your word always talks about the remnant. From the Old Testament into the New, there's always a remnant. May we be part of that remnant. We ask your blessing on J.J. Tenclay, working as a refugee ministries coordinator. Give her grace and wisdom. We also pray that you would use Danielle and Peg as they serve you in Malawi in a refugee camp. And then we think of persecuted Christians, those who suffer horrible things because they say Jesus is Lord and will not bow a knee for any other leader. Father, will you give them grace, give them strength, and will you help them to be faithful in their hour of trial? We thank you for organizations like the Voice of the Martyrs that minister to them. Thank you for 8th Reformed. Will you keep us faithful as your people? May we stand firmly on the truth of the word, and may we support, encourage one another in that endeavor as well. Equip us with boldness to not succumb to the sin of silence or compromise with the wisdom of the age. This morning, as we feed on your word, may the words take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Fill our hearts and minds with total security in the one we belong to and the one we worship, even Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue worshiping our God by standing to sing number 710, Jesus Lover of My Soul. 710.
Water flow.
Jesus, Lover of My Soul is kind of a favorite hymn of mine for two reasons. One, the words are beautiful, but you also know I'm quite musical, and I took organ and piano lessons for 3 years, and I almost learned how to play that whole song. Our scripture reading this morning comes out of Matthew chapter 14, and we'll start reading at verse 21, and then we will read through verse 33. It's page 1395 in your pew Bible. 1395. Hear the word of God. Verse 21, chapter 14. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. Dear congregation, the story opens with Jesus sending the disciples off in a boat to cross the Sea of Galilee as he goes up to the mountainside to pray. This is really the conclusion of the feeding of the 5,000. That's why we read that one verse. And in case you were thinking, well, didn't he know where the story started? It was just to give that little backdrop that the feeding of the 5,000, that amazing thing, and then Jesus dismissed the crowd. And in verse 24, we read, the disciples are out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is about at its widest point between 7 and 8 miles across. And they're fighting a huge storm. And think about this for a minute. Jesus had dismissed them the night before in the evening, and now during the fourth watch of the night. So it's just pre-dawn, just before dawn. These veterans of the Sea of Galilee had not made it across. Seasoned fishermen struggling for all their worth as the waves buffeted their boat, and they are going nowhere fast. It's been a long night. They're exhausted. Their backs are killing them, their hands bloody from the oars. They fear for their lives. And yeah, yesterday was a great day. Jesus, all the fish and all the bread, and they ate, and they're probably thinking, "We should have brought some with us. That's already wore off. We're also getting pretty hungry." And then, on top of all of this, they see a ghost walking toward them. Superstition in that day taught the folks that if you saw a ghost, it was kind of a foretelling of your own death. So think about this. They're buffeted on the Sea of Galilee. It's been a horrible storm. Now they see a ghost. What's this? What that is telling them is, you're not going to survive this. You're going to die. And I can imagine the disciples thinking, okay, so where is Jesus when you really need him? I mean, yeah, we've been together lots of times and everything was good, but this is where we need him, and where is he? And he sent us out in the lake and he didn't even come with us. When the storms are violent and the nights are long and you're not sure you're going to make it, do you ever wonder, where are you, Jesus? Where are you? This is when I really need you. Isn't that around the time of day or the time of night that we see our ghost? Last week, Mark talked about that, 4:45 a.m., right? Waking up in a cold sweat. Okay, Jesus, where are you? Because this isn't from you. That's often when we have our worst fears, when we are most terrified. Terrified about what tomorrow might bring. I can't sleep. I'm worried about tomorrow. Or the things that happened yesterday and it didn't turn out the way I was hoping it was going to turn out. Or terrified. I hear a noise. It sounds like it's outside of our window. Or you look at the clock and the kids aren't home yet. Or the eerie sound of a phone ringing at 3 in the morning. Alarmed at the world we live in does not feel very safe because there's unrest at home and there's unrest abroad. Anxiety because we've had to say goodbye to people we know and love. Terrified as the winds of our own heart are howling. And yes, at times like that, our boat seems very small. Our boat seems very small. We have tried to do all that we can and have gotten nowhere. And then the ghosts show up. And the Bible says the disciples were terrified. Terrified. They cry out in fear. Like the disciples in verse 26, we also cry out in fear. And then just when we don't feel we can hold on any longer, we hear, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. An interesting word in that passage is the word immediately. And I think so often God's immediately is quite different from our immediately. Our immediately is like we want it now. God's immediately is in his perfect timing. Take courage. Don't be afraid. It is I. Do you hear his voice over the storms of your life? How big are your waves? How small is your boat? He still speaks those words today. Do we hear them? Back to the Matthew story. Wouldn't you know it, Mr. Impulsive, Peter, that hasty, impetuous fisherman, don't you really love Peter? He's kind of one of those people, if he was here, you would either like him or hate him. But you always knew when Peter was around, and he's always kind of out there. Hey, Lord, if it's you, hey, tell me to come to you. How brass is that? Come to you? Jesus is walking on the water. I wonder if for a moment Peter even had second thoughts about it. Boy, what was I thinking to say that? That seems kind of an absurd thing. And if it isn't Jesus, wouldn't that be scary? And if it is Jesus, what if he invites me to come? Then I have to leave this boat and step into the water. And then Peter hears the words, come. Come. Oh, no. When Jesus says come, we have to leave our comfort zone. Oh, yeah, the boat wasn't feeling very safe, but to come out onto the water, that's a different story. Do you ever have it? Do you ever have it that you're glad Jesus is there, but you sure wish he wouldn't ask you to leave your comfort zone? That you're glad Jesus is there, kind of like an insurance policy, but don't want him to say, come. See, whenever Jesus says come, we have to leave our comfort zone. If you feel you've responded to Jesus, to his come, his invitation, and you haven't had any apprehension, any anxiety, any fear, any question about how's this going to work, I don't think that you've left your comfort zone. You've hung on to where you have felt safe. How often have we missed out on the blessings when Jesus says, come, and we've decided, not right now. Maybe some other time, but this just isn't a good time in my life to respond. I like the picture of this story because I picture the disciples in the boat who are watching this with bated breath. Hey, they're real people. 12 of them in the boat. Some wondering, okay, Peter, what are you going to do? Some shouting, Peter, don't go. That's suicide. That's crazy. Look how high the waves are. You're not going to survive that. And there may have been a couple that said, yeah, go ahead, Peter. We've had enough of you anyway. Oh, I know we sometimes think that, but we don't tell anybody, right? Peter, always out on a limb, doing things. Is this a familiar statement in the church? That we have never done before. And here's Peter doing things we've never done before. Peter's always out there. What's wrong with him? Even if it is Jesus, human thinking, even if it is Jesus, why don't we wait till he gets in the boat with us? This is crazy to go out to him. That's stupid. We're not going to survive. Don't do that. Look, Peter is walking on water. I wonder how many in the boat could not believe that. Am I really seeing this? Peter is walking on the water. I also wonder how many were disappointed. Peter, you should have sunk. Yes, Peter's walking on the water and doing just fine. This is amazing. Doing just fine. As long as he keeps his eyes on Jesus. That's a key phrase. As long as he keeps his eyes on Jesus. A lesson for Peter. And a lesson for all of us is we cannot do this on our own. See, the minute Peter looks at the waves and the wind, he gets scared. He gets scared, he takes his eyes off Jesus, and he begins to sink. And Peter cries out, Lord, save me! I mean, this is a life and death situation. What are the things going on in your life that as you look at are making you sink? What are the things that are dragging you down because you have taken your eyes off of Jesus and all you see are the winds and the waves and just feel overwhelmed by the billows of life? If you keep your eyes off of Jesus, like Peter, you are going to sink. You are going to sink. What will it take for you to cry out, Lord, save me? Every one of us has to cry that at some point. Lord, save me. This was truly a physical life and death situation for Peter, but it's also an eternal decision for all of us. If we have not cried out, Lord, save me, we're not walking with the Lamb of God. Now, is it clear to us that we too are in life and death situation? That these stories are really powerful because of the message that they convey, that until we cry, Lord, save us, we will drown in all the chaos of life. If you feel like you're floundering, if you feel like the waves are so big and things are overwhelming and there's chaos around you, where's your focus? Where are you looking? What are your eyes on? Once again, we realize there's an urgency, and it says immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Jesus always understands the crisis that we are in. And sure, life has lots of crises. And he understands the crisis we're in. He's aware of how critical it is, and he responds immediately. And as I said a few minutes ago, God's immediately often is different than our own. We want an instant response. God's response is immediately often encompasses, trust me. Trust me as you wait for me. He knows how weak, frail, and helpless we are, and that we'll go under without him. So we need to trust and believe that when we are sinking, he will reach out and grab us, just like he did with Peter. And then Jesus speaks one more time in this story. He says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When I read that, I hear a sadness in his voice. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" I don't think it was a scolding tone like, "You guys are never going to get it, are you? How thick are you? I'm going to look for some other guys to become my disciples because you guys just don't get it." I don't sense that at all. It's more the sadness. You saw me feed the 5,000. You've seen the teachings. You've seen the miracles. You've seen the stuff even in the past 24 hours. Why did you doubt? Why didn't you trust me? And I have to admit that as I read this, it's not hard for me to feel kind of smug, looking over Jesus' shoulder, standing behind him, and thinking, "Yeah, you disciples, you just don't get it." And then I realize the question is really for me. "You have little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" Doubt is an uninvited guest and shows up often. And Satan is the one who plants the seeds of doubt. "You're not going to make this. I don't think Jesus will come through this time. He knows what you're really like. It's not going to work out for you this time. You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And then I'm humbled and embarrassed by how often I doubt. I doubt. The time I was worried about my health and didn't believe Jesus would sustain me. Concerned about my job or being able to continue doing it. Fear of losing benefits or prescription coverage. Times I'm worried about my children and grandchildren, forgetting he's a covenant God. The loneliness I feel in my marriage. The times I feel left out at school. The sleep I lose over the stock market, my retirement, my pension. I listen to the news and I fear, how long can it last? The tension in my relationships at home, in my neighborhood, and globally. The time I worried about sharing my faith and I didn't believe Jesus would give me the words to do it. The time I could have prayed with a friend, but I chose not to. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? In all these situations, what he does is he asks us to trust him, believing he will see us through. The passage ends with Peter and Jesus with the others in the boat. There's something we got to be really, really clear about here. The safety for all of these men was not that they were in the boat. The safety was that they were with Jesus. Never think that because they were in the boat that they were safe. They were safe because they were with Jesus. That's what we got to remember in our life. Our safety and our security only comes from being with him. Once he's in the boat, the wind dies down, the storm is over, he's in control. And yes, he truly is the Lord of the winds and the waves. He is our Creator God. There's absolutely nothing outside of his control. I can't fathom that. I can't get my mind around that. There is nothing outside of his control. There is nothing he cannot do. He's the Lord over all of creation. And we are part of his creation. He is in control over you and over I. Dear family of God, when you have been with Jesus, when you have felt his presence and heard his voice, when you have experienced his comfort and his safety, there is only one thing left to do. There's only one thing left to do. The disciples did it, and that's why we are here today. They worshiped him. That's why we're here today. We're here to worship him because he is worthy of our worship. He is the Lord of creation. He's the Lord of our lives. There's absolutely nothing that he doesn't control or isn't Lord over. And the disciples worshiped him because why? They got it. Said, he truly is the Son of God. And yes, Jesus is God. And that's why we worship him. It's Sunday. We're on the threshold of a new week. Maybe you're in a good space right now. You know, the story doesn't imply that there was anything going on in the Sea of Galilee when the disciples got in the boat. I'm assuming the sea was calm. Maybe today you feel, my sea is pretty calm. I'm doing okay. But as we prepare to enter a new week, be it the waters at school, at home, at work, retirement, vacation, we know there will be storms. We know the storms will come. If it's like any other week, we know there'll be challenges and we know there'll be surprises. I want you to remember four things from this passage. One, listen for Jesus' voice that says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. That was true for the disciples. That's true for us today. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. The second point, Jesus still invites us to come. Yes, sometimes we have to step out of the boat. Are you willing to do that? He invites you. He says, come. The third point, remember his faithfulness. Even as your faith might be small and your boat seem very tiny and doubt-filled, remember our God is a faithful God. And the fourth one, as you go through the week, remember to worship and to praise him. He is worthy of that. This isn't something we just do Sunday mornings. No, he's worthy of our worship and our praise every day. Why? Because he truly is the Son of God. He is the creator of all things. All things are under his control. The winds and the waves, you and I. Father, we come to you and we think, what an awesome God. What a powerful God. What an amazing God. So beyond our comprehension or what we can fathom. But thank you that you have embraced us and welcomed us as your children and revealed just a little bit of yourself to us. And all we're left with is to worship you. That's all we can do. Touch our hearts as only you can. And then, Father, fill us, too, with praise and adoration for the one we call our Lord and our Savior. For a gracious Heavenly Father and a Spirit who has revealed these things to us. And may we hear your voice often. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, the one who makes it all happen. Amen. We will continue worshiping our God by standing to sing number 438, Jesus Saves, 438. This time, the morning offering will be received. The deacons will wait upon you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you of all the gifts you pour out on us for an opportunity to give back. But the greatest gift you give us really is peace in our hearts, a sense of peace and contentment, to know your voice that says, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Help us to live in that peace and then enjoy the blessings you have given us, and may we be generous in sharing them with others. We pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is number 684. We'll sing the first verse, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Receive God's parting blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his countenance toward you and grant you his peace, both now and for all of eternity. Amen.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to past services on our website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in his care.